Let's get to business news now. At 6 minutes to seven on RNZ National, here is Kim Savage.
Thanks, Susie. Ya te marie. Good morning. Coming up in today's program, Reserve Bank's new tool could stay in the shed. Education needed to curtail KiwiSaver panic switching. And we'll have the latest from the financial markets. There is doubt whether the Reserve Bank will need to reach for the debt-to-income ratios to help tame the housing market, in the current cycle at least. The government's given the central bank in-principle approval for the DTIs, which place limits on the amount of lending depending on a borrower's income level. For good measure, the government says any measures must have minimal impact on first home buyers. Chief Property Economist Calvin Davidson of research firm CoreLogic says the tool has a different approach from loan-to-value ratios, which he thinks are already doing the job.
So the DTI is very much about trying to insulate borrowers, I suppose, against borrowing too much and therefore facing up to a risk of higher interest rates, which is actually already catered for a little bit through the bank's own testing. They would bite, I think. They would play a role. But it's just that if we're right, the market will have slowed of its own accord anyway by the end of the year.
Calvin Davidson there of research firm CoreLogic. Meanwhile, the firm's mid-year report on the sector shows Auckland's Herne Bay is the most expensive suburb to buy property, but some of the strongest value gains have occurred in the regions. It mentions the central North Island and suburbs in regional centres such as Invercargill, Hamilton, Tauranga, as well as parts of Christchurch. KiwiSaver fund managers are being urged to do more to prevent investors from panic switching in and out of funds when markets turn volatile. A report prepared by PwC for the Financial Markets Authority shows a relatively large number of young people switched into conservative funds, and that was during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, and missed out on the rebound in financial markets. The report estimates $1.2 billion was switched into conservative funds, while only $121 million has been moved back into higher risk funds. The FMA's Gillian Boyes says the industry's focus should be on educating people under the age of 35.
It's really, really hard to educate 3 million people on something. So if we can narrow the need a little bit, that helps us and it helps providers in particular work out which groups they need to talk to and spend the most effort with. And it seems that sort of 26 to 35 was a key group who were making a decision that, you know, in many cases seem to be a bit of a blind panic more than a really rational, well-thought-out decision.
The FMA's Gillian Boyes says another recommendation is to make it harder for people to switch between funds. The Overseas Investment Office has issued a warning to foreign investors after a Korean man was fined more than $1.2 million for buying land without consent. The High Court's ordered Seung-Hyun Lee to pay the fine for buying 7 properties in Northland between 2014 and 2016 for $10.4 million for his tourism business, but without approval. Mr. Lee is now a New Zealand resident, but was not at the time the properties were purchased and didn't know that he needed consent. The office's enforcement manager, Simon Pope, says ignorance is not an excuse and the hefty fine could have been easily avoided.
Well, I think there's a very clear message here. When overseas persons are not sure if their classification under our Act is an overseas person or not, and they're making such a significant purchase, it's just good sense to make sure they seek good professional advice with someone who properly understands the New Zealand overseas investment regime.
Simon Pope there of the Overseas Investment Office. And a quick look around the markets. Wall Street seen some falls there this morning. The main indices extending their losses following a Fed Reserve statement indicating possible rate hikes by the end of 2023. Dow and S&P down 1% and the Nasdaq down more than 1%. Currency-wise, New Zealand dollar, US dollar has strengthened and the New Zealand dollar is a bit lower as a result. That's business for now. I'll be back with more from the markets at 8:30.